Hey, Sharnold.
Yeah, Zach.
I have a question. What's going on with, symbiotes? I've heard that term before. I don't know what it means. Is there any big, major event things happening with, maybe, a king of them or something like that?
Warning! This podcast contains extreme spoilers for Venom Volume 4, Absolute Carnage, and King in Black. You have been warned.
Hey everybody, this is the Doombots Podcast. We're your Doombots. I'm Zach.
I'm Sharnold.
What we like to do here is sort of just ruin comics for you, spoil them.
I prefer to say spoil, because that doesn't have as much negative connotation as ruin does.
Semantics. It doesn't matter. Speaking of things that got ruined, I could have sworn that we were going to talk about Black Widow this week. And by talk about this week, I mean release an episode we recorded literally months ago.
Well, for those who don't pay super close attention to this news, Disney has delayed the Black Widow movie yet again.
Not just delayed it. Delayed it and will also now be releasing it on streaming, which was the entire point of delaying it to avoid that.
Was to not do that. So if they were releasing it on streaming, they could have just released it a year ago like they were
this
planning on.
This fucking movie better be amazing.
I feel bad for it because it is not any of the creator's fault.
No, of course.
What has happened around it. And so if they can't live up to a whole year's worth of hype, it's not their fault.
I agree. I just think it's such a weird thing that, anyway, so we're not talking about that this week.
Nah, we'll talk about that if the movie ever comes out.
At a future point. Here's my question then.
Okay.
I've been hearing a lot about this new storyline, King in Black.
Yeah, that's like the big crossover that Marvel's been doing that just ended
recently,
depending on when exactly this goes live and when people listen to it.
And I remember we talked about it really briefly in the Deadpool episode. We just did Black Goo, which I love. And I know what Venom is.
Good. Yeah, I think most people know basically what Venom is.
I think most people think Venom is a villain.
Yeah,
and
who's got this black alien that makes him a bad Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
That's the basic.
But he's not a villain, though, right?
I mean, not anymore.
Right. He's, like everything else that becomes popular, became a hero, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I guess what my question is, what...
Okay, so I've been thinking about this because King in Black did a lot of things, and so the best way I think to come about this is to go in chronological order.
Shocking.
From the Marvel Universe's perspective, because the order that we actually learned all of these things was not in chronological order because of retcons and flashbacks and all that jazz.
I think we need to get a general grip for those who are as lost as I am as to what this is in general. So building block basics.
Okay.
This is a tentpole big crossover between all the Marvel lines.
Right. The basic premise is that the god of the symbiotes, who is this super evil ancient creature called Null, it's K-N-U-L-L.
Okay.
So it's, yeah.
Sure.
Anyways.
And the symbiotes are aliens.
Yeah.
The...
Klyntar.
Klyntar is the name of the planet?
Depends on which story you're reading. But in general, we humans in the regular universe refer to the symbiote species as the Klyntar.
So not the planet, but the species.
The planet was also called Klyntar. for a while.
I guess I were Earthlings, sort of.
Yeah. But
okay.
They're not Klyntarians. They are the Klyntar.
Okay. And this is the god of those aliens.
Right.
Who is real.
Right.
And like...
Like Thor is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And controls them?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
He created them the way that a god does.
Yeah.
He is bringing his army of symbiotes to Earth.
Okay.
And he's gonna kill us all. So let's start before the Big Bang.
For fuck's sake. How, if I had a dollar... for every time you said something something before the Big Bang, I'd have like $8.
You would, yeah. So the current 616 universe is the 8th universe. Okay? So Big Bang, boom, universe exists. Entropy, eventually, universe collapses. Universe dead. New Big Bang, new universe.
Okay.
Okay? We're in universe number 8.
Okay.
That's a little bit confusing because technically...
Oh, is it? It's just a little bit confusing. All right.
So, it is a little bit confusing, and let me explain why.
It's a lot of bit confusing, Sharnold.
Universes 1 through 7 had fundamentally the same origin. Universe 8 didn't have a Big Bang. Universe 8 had Reed Richards recreated the universe after Secret Wars.
Oh my god.
But so Universe 8 and Universe 7 are basically the same universe. So technically our universe is Universe 8, but we're going to be going back to Universe 6 because our universe used to be Universe 7.
Oh my god. Oh my god. You know, sometimes when you do this podcast, I can tell about here how it's going. And I can be like, "Oh, this is pretty convoluted. I don't feel that we've started the podcast yet."
No, we haven't. We're establishing structure.
Okay.
Okay, so long, long ago, in the late 60s, they established the origin of Galactus.
Okay.
Galactus used to be an alien from a planet called Ta in the 6th universe. When that universe died, he was the sole survivor of the universe who got to go through the Big Bang and come into the 7th universe, which is our universe. And that process is what turned him into Galactus.
Okay, I'm not going to ask
that. That has been Galactus' origin.
I thought we were the 8th universe.
For years. Right, but so the 616 up until 2015 was the 7th universe.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then
I get
when
you.
Reed
I get
Richards
you.
Did his Secret Wars thing, it became the 8th universe, without changing anything at all. Right?
Okay.
So
okay.
Like numerically
we're the 6th we're the 7th universe in terms of Big Bangs.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So between
I have a lot of faith in you right now, and I don't know that that's ever really been justified, but I have a lot of faith that this actually applies to what we're going to learn about tonight.
It does. Okay. So, as we learned, as established by writer Donnie Cates at the beginning of his Venom run, 34 issues, so about 3 years ago, between the 6th and 7th universes...
When Galactus was made.
Right. There was nothing. And this nothing was Null.
So there was something.
No, Null is the void. He is the darkness. He is nothing.
Should be using a pronoun. Indicating he is a something.
Well, yeah, but like...
So we shouldn't be afraid of him at all, and we're fine, because he is non-existent, non-thing, so we're not worried.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's Lovecraft. it's that same sort of, like, cosmic unknowableness.
Yeah.
I get you.
So then the universe started, and Noah was like, "Hey, I don't like any of this.
There's things now. I preferred it my way when there was no things."
Yeah. And
except for me, because I am a thing.
And he starts getting mad at existence for existing. He's like, "Go away! This is my land."
I gotta admit, I relate to that. I feel that. I there's a lot of things I hate simply because they exist. I just want to be like, "No, no." Was it John Mulaney? "I just want to sit here and play with my birds." Okay, anyway.
So one of the first things he did, which is one of the first things to ever happen in our universe, was he created this super powerful sword called the Necro Sword, which isn't super important, except that we've recently seen it in Jason Aaron's Thor run. And so learning that it was created by Null is, like, cool for people who follow that sort of thing.
And only them.
Right? So me. It's cool to me. I was like, "Oh, that's cool. I should tell people about it."
Necrosword is a great, great name.
Yeah. The Necrosword feels a lot like the Venom symbiote in sword form.
Okay.
In that it's kind of gooey and kind of shapeshifty, but it's also, like, very powerful. And what he did with it is he killed a Celestial by beheading it.
Oh, wow.
And that is where Nowhere comes from.
Oh,
so the beheaded Celestial head that is the...
Which fans of the MCU, the cinematic universe... It's a stupid joke we make every goddamn week. Would know from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
With a big head that they mine for stuff, I think.
Yeah.
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 So that Celestial was decapitated by...
By Null.
Null. With the Necrosword.
Right. Near the beginning of the universe.
And when was this revealed in terms of chronology? Like...
Couple years ago.
Okay. So before that, was there no
explanation? We didn't know. We just didn't know. Yeah.
I like that a little bit. Like, the story behind it, just a decapitated Celestial head in space. You're like, what the fuck happened here? But then that's actually kind of an interesting answer to that, though. But...
Yeah, Marvel likes to go in and answer their unanswered questions, right? That's one of the things they do. Sometimes the answers are like, oh.
Yeah, but the...
But this one I actually liked.
Whoever wrote that line, I could be like, okay. Check this out. He makes an Necro Sword. He's like, okay, cool, Necro Sword. Yeah. And that's where Nowhere comes. And then I can see the writer being like, literally losing his shit over coming up with this idea. Because I would, if I'd come up with something like that, I would just be like, oh, fuck, that answers his old... Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that sensation. And I like that someone else had that sensation. I appreciate it.
Okay. So then billions of years pass.
Okay.
And Null doesn't do shit.
Just chilling? Well, there isn't a lot going on for those billions of years, right?
Well, I mean, planets are being born, and the Celestials are going around making life, and, like, the whole reason he made the Necro Sword and killed that first Celestial is because he didn't like any of this.
Yeah, but he got tuckered out.
I mean, I guess.
You ever behead a Celestial? It's
I can
hard
say
shit.
I have not.
It's some hard... I imagine it's a tough it day's
tuckers
work.
Tuckers you out. Yeah, yeah, you gotta then go rest for 4 billion years.
Yeah, I get that. I sympathize. Plus, you know what it's like when you really hate everything. You don't want to go out and do things.
I do. I do get that. Like, you've got enough rage that you want to sit there and stew, but not enough rage to actively go destroy the entire universe.
Yeah, until you, like, build it up and then you're like, okay, I'll get off the couch and I'll go destroy the universe. I get it. Yeah.
So one of the things that he did in the interim 4 billion years is experiment with using nothingness to create various forms of life that he could use as weapons and destroy-y things, like he did with the Necro Sword.
Okay.
And eventually what he came up with are the symbiotes, which are basically goo monsters that... take over you. Like, they coat you in their goo, and then they can control you, and now you're theirs. That was their original purpose, was to sort of go and grab life and be like, haha, now you're mine.
Okay. Not just destroy it, but consume it and control it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next thing that happens, I would be completely okay with if it had happened longer ago.
Okay.
But I just don't think 1,300 years is long enough.
Okay.
Because we're talking about a scale of 4 billion years of stuff.
Okay, so 1,300 years ago from now.
Right. One of Null's more powerful symbiotes, called the Grendel, which was a dragon symbiote, came to Earth.
Okay.
And was doing some murders. like you do. And then Thor came along and was like, hey, stop it. And he hit it with some lightning, and that severed its connection to Null.
Okay.
And in so doing, so the symbiotes share a hive mind, and so when he hit the Grendel symbiote with the lightning, which severed its connection to Null, it severed all of the symbiotes' connections to Null. And the ones who had taken over living creatures learned about goodness and virtue from the minds of those creatures that they were sort of sharing but sort of controlling. What the symbiotes decided to do was to encase Null inside of all of them. And so millions, maybe billions, of these symbiote entities came together and formed a planet-sized sphere of a cage around Null, and the symbiote's word for cage is Clintar. And
okay.
That is where the planet Clintar comes from.
It's a living planet of symbiotes?
Yes.
Okay, now, hold on. I'm confused.
Okay.
What severed the connection between Null?
Thor's lightning.
Okay.
They don't explain it well, but there is something very special about this Grendel symbiote that has a stronger connection to Null than the rest of the symbiotes. And somehow hitting it with lightning hurt Null so much that the entire hive mind of all of the symbiotes across all of the universe were severed from his control.
Okay. Did it kill Grendel?
It nearly killed Grendel, and then it fell into the ice and was frozen for 1,250 years.
Yeah, that's not enough years.
Right?
That's not that,
The Kree-Skrull War has been going on for millennia. Like, many millennia. If the symbiotes had been under Null's evil control as recently as 1,400 years ago, that would have been a cosmically big deal, right? As the other empires are spreading, like the Kree and the Skrull wouldn't have had time to be fighting each other if Null was out there still killing everybody.
Yeah. So are the symbiotes that we see in the comics, like Venom and Carnage and all that, like ancient?
No, we don't really know how old they are. Venom is the 998th generation of symbiote.
How do symbiotes reproduce?
They just do.
Just self-replicate?
Or? Yeah, so like when Carnage was created, Eddie Brock and Cletus Kasady were sharing a jail cell. The Venom symbiote came for Eddie and was like, "I free you," and just left behind a bit of itself, but not really itself, because it left behind its offspring, which became Carnage. It's just like, new baby now.
Dead be dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And but why Carnage be this malicious
force? Because Cletus Kasady is serial killer.
That's why when Venom was attached to Spider-Man, he wasn't like this raving psychotic evil because of Spider-Man's goodness.
Right.
Or when he, with Eddie Brock, who is more of a douchebag than Peter Parker, but not overtly a villain.
Right.
He's more violent and angry, but ultimately feeds off of that decency or that humanity.
Right.
And then
with Cletus Kasady and Carnage, who is a lifelong psychotic serial killer, it lashes onto that and it's like, ooh, yeah, super psychosis.
Real quick, unrelated to anything, what did Eddie Brock do to end up in a jail cell next to a serial killer?
He was Venom. He had been Venom for a while. Spider-Man had separated the symbiote, and so normal human Eddie Brock was then in jail for Venom's crimes, but the symbiote got loose and came for him.
Okay. If symbiotes can just self-reproduce, then why don't they just do that endlessly and then take over everything?
It probably costs a lot of energy to do that.
I feel this is going to be the kind of thing where I just don't ask follow-up questions that aren't directly related to the plot.
The problem is that follow-up questions will not have an answer because they just haven't been addressed in the comics.
Right, right. Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
So then, during the Vietnam War...
Okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D. uncovered Grendel, the frozen symbiote at the bottom of the ocean. Big mistake, yeah. And was using it to try to experiment with generating super soldiers.
Is S.H.I.E.L.D. just always been kind of evil?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like if you really look, like, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like technically they were doing this because they wanted to be able to protect the world, but like...
I mean,
making
super soldiers, like even when the American military did it with Captain America, it still feels like a thing the bad guys do.
Well, that's the thing, is that it is a thing the bad guys do, and so we have to do it too, right? We didn't make the nuke because we just wanted to. We made the nuke because the Germans were researching it, and it was important that we beat them to it. It's the arms race. I mean, we can debate the morality of the arms race, but we can't debate the historical certainty of the arms race.
Yeah, we can debate whether or not it was all generated by a desire for profit off of war profiteering. But well, anyway, that's not the point.
That's a different argument altogether.
I guess that's not the point.
So that ended up not going anywhere, no big deal. And then 3 years ago, at the beginning of... Well,
where did they keep this symbiote dragon?
S.H.I.E.L.D. had it sealed up in one of its many, many
dead
S.H.I.E.L.D.
or
places.
Unconscious?
Basically dead, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Stasis?
Or... Stasis, yeah, that's a good word for
Got
it.
Got it.
So then Captain America became a Nazi.
Everything ties into Captain America being a Nazi.
It really does, because this was a major, just the way that Secret Wars and the reboot of the universe was a major like turning point for Marvel publishing wise, so was Secret Empire. And so one of the things that happened is after Nazi Steve took over the world, when things went back to quote normal, S.H.I.E.L.D. was disbanded. Like, there is no S.H.I.E.L.D. now. There hasn't been for a few years.
Similar in the movies to when it turns out all of S.H.I.E.L.D. was really Hydra.
Exactly like that. Okay. Yes. And so when Donny Cates began his Venom run, I guess I should note one other thing. Eddie Brock has not been Venom for about a decade.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He sold the symbiote to Mac Gargan, the Scorpion. And then 10 years of other stories happened that we shouldn't really take time to explain.
Sure.
Except to say that Donny Cates beginning his run on Venom about 3 years ago with Eddie Brock as Venom was a big deal. Because it was Eddie Brock as Venom again for the first time in over a decade.
Was he more of a hero in this storyline?
Yes. And so the whole point of Donny Cates' Venom arc, which I've actually really, really liked, is it's looking at both Eddie and the symbiote as two different individuals as opposed to a singular symbiotic creature, mm-hmm. and their various character struggles and their different views on what is good and evil and sort of their internal struggle together as opposed to, you know, his external struggle just fighting them bad guys.
Right.
So the first thing that happens in Donny Cates' Venom run, this guy named Rex Strickland comes to Venom and he's like, I was one of those S.H.I.E.L.D. soldiers that got experimented on with the Grendel symbiote. And now that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been disbanded, they're destroying a lot of the old stuff that they had in stasis. And so that includes my fellow soldiers who had also been experimented on, and I want you to go save them. And in so doing, this wakes up the Grendel symbiote and also doesn't get destroyed. And so now it's just there and fine.
Got it.
Which is bad.
How would they have destroyed it?
I don't know. They were going to science it with magic.
They were going to science it with magic.
And,
okay.
And so then Grendel calls out to Null, and we as readers are introduced to Null for the first time.
Okay.
Everything
oh,
we know
I see
about
now
Null
what
is
you mean
new.
About this is confusing.
Yes.
Okay.
And so then over the past 3 years, as we have been building towards King in Black, we have learned more bits and pieces about Null's history and whatnot through the 3 year arc that Donny Cates has been doing on Venom.
Got it.
And part of that includes figuring out that Eddie has a kid who is not Eddie's, it's Venom's.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so this goes back to the mid-90s. While Eddie was Venom, he had a wife named Anne Wiang. She was in the movie. She's the girl in the movie that got the symbiote for a little while. You haven't seen the movie?
I have not seen that particular movie. Okay. I love Tom Hardy, but the number of bracelets he was wearing in that movie bothered me.
Overall, I don't think it was a well-crafted movie, but the buddy comedy was great, where it was him inside his head arguing with the symbiote about whether or not we can eat somebody's brains. Like, that part of the movie was amazing, and I loved it.
I saw the trailer, and there was another scene where yet another liquor store robbery occurred.
Yeah, well, you know.
And I can't do that trope anymore. So he was married?
So he was married to Anne,
okay,
and she got injured, and so to save her, he gave her the symbiote so it could heal her.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that story happened and was done, and then we move on with our lives. Back in the mid-90s.
Are you telling me that the symbiote impregnated her while on her?
Yes.
Like it inserted its biological material into her womb?
The details are not specific. And Eddie might have been involved, because they were married. So some of Eddie could have also been penetrating her.
So like little mini symbiotes around his semen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, what Donny Cates reveals is that she had a child.
Are you telling me he doesn't go into explicit detail with diagrams?
About the conception?
About the...
He's not Jonathan Hickman.
Okay. What a niche joke. What a niche joke that I wouldn't even understand if it wasn't for this podcast. Holy shit. No one is going to laugh at that joke as much as I want. Oh my god. That fucking diagram. Okay, sorry. Okay. Anyway.
All we see in a flashback is that Anne had this kid and she didn't feel fit to raise it, so she left it with Eddie's dad. And then she eventually had a... she killed herself.
Okay.
Yeah, because she was not mentally stable.
Right.
And so this kid's name is Dylan, and he thinks that he is Eddie's brother. I don't know what he thinks about his mom, because he's never met her.
Okay.
And then...
Does Eddie know it's his kid?
So Eddie doesn't know he exists.
Okay.
Until in the midst of Donny Cates' run, the Venom symbiote takes him there.
And this kid's living with Eddie's dad?
Yeah, who is a terrible abusive man.
Oh, okay. So it's not like Eddie has a relationship with his dad.
Correct.
Okay.
But Venom takes him there, and Eddie's like, who dat?
Yeah.
And his dad's like, you're such a bad father and absentee, and you can't even be here.
You didn't even tell me this kid exists.
Exactly.
You douchebag.
And so, you know, they argue, and his dad continues to be abusive. So basically, Eddie takes Dylan under his wing, under the guise of being his older brother. I guess the next important thing that happens is the big crossover event, Absolute Carnage, which was from about a year and a half ago.
Okay. I'm going to guess that Carnage was involved.
He was!
Okay, cool.
Now, let's explain a complicated thing that's dumb and I didn't like.
Oh my god, okay. Yeah, let's do it.
It turns out, as Donny Cates revealed, that any time a symbiote bonds with a host, when it leaves that host, it leaves what is called a codex of itself wrapped around the host's DNA.
Okay.
There you go. That's...
So it leaves behind trace elements of itself.
Right.
Okay.
And Carnage has been dead for a while. Then this ancient cult that worships Null gets their hands on Cassidy's body. And on a bit of the Grendel symbiote. Venom ended up destroying the Grendel symbiote when he fought it way back at the beginning of this run.
Got it.
But somehow this cult gets their hands on a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it to revive Cletus Cassidy. So now he's like super Carnage.
Okay.
And through the Grendel symbiote, he is able to get a tiny bit of connection to Null. And he's like, oh, I like this. I like this super dark nothing god. I want to free him. And the way that I will do that is by collecting all of the codices that have been left behind on anyone on planet Earth who has ever bonded to a symbiote.
Okay.
Also, MacGuffin established. Don't ask questions.
Okay.
I spent hours reading and rereading and checking Wikipedia and online videos and being like, how does this work? There's no explanation.
But
that's just like MacGuffin established.
Like killing them?
Yeah, killing them in order to absorb that leftover trace of symbiote.
Got it.
And apparently if he gets, quote, enough, he will be able to release Null from his planet cage.
Well, that's not nebulous at all.
I don't get it, And I don't like it because of the vast extent to which it doesn't make sense.
I mean, it doesn't make less sense than every other element of this.
See, I think it does.
Why?
Because of the, I guess, the percentage of it. Okay? Like...
I get, no, because...
So Venom and Carnage as whole entities cannot in any way commune with and release Null. How does going and collecting little bits of themselves that they left in other people...
It's not themselves, though, right? It's anybody who is touched by any symbiote, right?
Yeah, but that's mostly Venom and Venom's offspring. Like 99% we're talking about, Venom and his offspring.
Maybe it's about collecting enough different codices. Is that the plural of codex?
That's the plural, yeah.
Well, you did read about this a lot. Maybe it's about collecting enough different ones from Venom and his offspring that it can reestablish that hive mind link that can bring Null back. You know what I mean? Like, if you can absorb enough things into one symbiote, since he's got Grendel as part of him too,
right?
That's already establishing that link.
That's the only thing, that's the only part of it that makes any sense to me, is that somehow Grendel being involved is what allows this to work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it is what it is.
So then Absolute Carnage was what I think it was an incredible crossover, where Carnage just goes, and one of his new powers from being revived by the Grendel symbiote is he can like flick a little bit of his symbiote on you and then just take total control of you, sort of the way that Null used to use the symbiotes back in the day. And so he just amasses a massive army of mindless goons who are not quite as strong, but like miniature Carnages who the heroes don't want to hurt because they're being controlled. He also is able to take control a little while for some of the heroes themselves. And then what Eddie and Spider-Man and also the Maker, who is Reed Richards from the Ultimate Universe, don't worry about it. He's just there. He's there. but don't worry about it.
Okay.
Like, don't worry about it. Like, so the Thing and Wolverine and Captain America are there too, but we don't need to explain that. So I'm not going to explain why the Maker is there either.
At least they, okay.
But anyways, what they are trying to do is collect enough codices that Venom can become strong enough to fight off against Carnage.
Wait, what? Why do codices make you stronger?
Because of MacGuffins, Zach. Because of MacGuffins.
I get establishing the link to Null. For whatever reason, that makes a kernel of sense to me. Because it's all sort of just science magic, this whole fucking thing.
Right.
But it's not...
Right, because it's just part of you.
Yeah. But it shouldn't make you strong. Like, that's
like,
not
like if I cut
thing.
Off some of my hair...
Yeah, going around collecting all of my old hair.
And I put it back,
if I could reabsorb it.
I guess I do become more hairy if I go collect it.
I guess if that's your goal.
So what ends up happening is that Carnage gets to a point where he is about to kill Dylan. And Venom can stop him by killing Carnage. But Venom has collected so many codices... And Carnage has collected so many codices that if Venom does that, it will release Null.
Why?
Because, Zach, I told you, the answer is because. Because that's what Carnage says will happen. And then Venom says, I'm going to do it anyway. And so he saves his kid, but dooms the planet by awakening Null.
Okay. Full stop. Dylan being Venom's kid, does that give him any special powers?
Yeah, so that sort of begins to get established in Absolute Carnage. We start to see that he has a strange relationship to the symbiotes that we don't quite understand. And that is also, we see that Anne doesn't have her codex in her anymore. And so it is discovered that that codex is inside Dylan. And that's how we know that it's Venom's kid and not Eddie's kid.
But I thought the codex was on everyone who they had symbiote.
Right, but Anne somehow birthed her codex into Dylan.
Okay.
Did I mention at the beginning that a lot of this doesn't make sense?
I feel like almost more than any other episode... we're doing the just shut your brain off.
And a lot of that is like a lot of this has both the Absolute Carnage and the King in Black have some great action pieces that are led by a character saying, this is what's happening, and everybody just going along with it. So okay. In this case, it is largely Carnage explaining.
What does the fight between Carnage and Venom look like? Is it good?
It's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So Carnage is like extra demon-y kind of, and like he doesn't have a torso, and he's taller than normal, and he has horns. Like,
what
like
the fuck are you describing?
You can just see his spine. Like, he looks real cool.
That sounds fucking rad.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Okay.
And then for a little while, the Venom symbiote bonds with Hulk because they need to buy some time. And that is one of the coolest designs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, it's a really good, fun crossover. And there are some great character moments in it. As long as you just accept their nonsensical MacGuffin and
sure,
let it be.
Which is just the case with so many things, though.
Yeah.
Like, because it is, and go.
Because we need a reason to fight, damn it.
Yeah.
So, Eddie saves his son,
but dooms the planet.
Yeah. And so...
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your menacing delivery of that.
Try it again.
I want to hear it.
So, Eddie saves his son, but dooms the planet.
That was really good.
Thank you.
That was really good.
And it's also when Dylan finds out, oh, you're not my brother, you're my dad. And they have a really nice, really, really good character moment where at first Dylan has the, you know, why didn't you want me? Why did you leave me with that abusive person? And then Eddie's able to explain, well, I didn't know, and that's why I came and got you. And, you know, I promised to protect you kind of thing. And they get close and it's nice.
See, what had happened was the alien goo that lives on me fucked your mom instead of me. And then the DNA that was on her DNA turned into you. And was birthed without my knowledge when I was in prison for many murders. Then your mom abandoned you. And then my father, who I hate, was abusive. And then now here we are. But basically, it's because an alien fucked your mom.
Yeah. That's the explanation for a lot of things.
Okay.
So
that's the end.
Yep, that's the end of Absolute Carnage.
Oh, God. So now we're getting to where the podcast is about.
Yeah, now we're about to start the podcast. That was all prequel.
Cool.
So then we have about a year of buildup where Null retakes control of the symbiote hive. He turns the entire planet that had been containing him into an army of symbiote dragons, which are fucking badass.
Yeah.
And he's flying through space, coming to Earth. And one of the things that he does along the way is annihilate entire planets. So we've established that he's like super strong and terrifying. So issue one, he gets to Earth and all the heroes are like, the Century's gonna beat you. Who's like Superman, but with DID.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Century's evil identity is called the Void. That's
right.
That's just its name.
And is that related to this Void?
No, but Null is like, I am the Void, and rips Century open, and then he's just dead.
Okay. So Century's dead.
So Century's dead. That's like the first thing that happens.
And no one cares.
No.
Like,
not a single person on the planet.
Yeah.
Our planet or their planet.
I just know that Century is not a beloved character.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then he sends out his dragons and he takes control of a bunch of the heroes who are supposed to be the front line of defense.
Okay.
So, and then he kills Eddie. He steals the Venom symbiote and kills Eddie.
I don't know why I was actually, like, affected by that, but I was.
Yeah. Well, Eddie's been becoming a legit good guy through his sort of kind of redemption arc these
and
past
he's dead?
Years. For now.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, if you think he's going to stay dead...
Probably
when this is a Venom story, you're fairly naive as to the way that comics work.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
And then he coats the entire planet in a dome of symbiotes, so there is nothing but darkness.
Okay. And that's where we are now.
Yeah. And that's the new status quo. Marvel Universe.
And so, Mephisto's just like, what the fuck is this? What does the devil... It feels like even the bad guys would have something negative.
Mephisto doesn't live on Earth. He doesn't give a shit.
No, but I'm saying just like the villains of Earth feel like it would be...
Yeah, there is one crossover called The Thunderbolts where Kingpin pulls together some of the villains.
Who gives a shit about Kingpin?
He's one of the major villains.
He's just a mob boss. This is the no, the what?
Well, what villains do you want to see fight him?
Ones with magic.
Dr. Doom and Iron Man save Santa Claus from one of the symbiote's dragons.
Shut your fucking mouth right now. They're wasting Iron Man and Dr. Doom on saving fucking Santa?
Yeah, because of the timing of King in Black was right during Christmas.
Okay.
So then we get into the nature of crossovers and something that both did and did not work.
Iron Man and Dr. Doom being relegated to saving fucking Santa Claus.
Fundamental premise that they created for the crossover was... all these symbiote dragons are attacking Earth, and so all of the different heroes in all of their different books have basically small confrontations with one or two symbiote dragons.
Okay. That sounds repetitive.
And they all win, which is stupid. Like, mostly how they win is they end up chopping off the heads. That's not how symbiotes work. They're just goo that has taken the form of a dragon. Cutting off its head is... just the same as cutting off
dragon underneath, right?
Like... no, there's not. And it didn't work and I didn't like it. But the premise works, right? Like the premise of there are a bunch of alien dragons all over Earth and all the different heroes have to have their own adventure fighting them is a working premise.
There needs to be a better way to defeat them or a way that makes more sense to defeat them.
Yeah. It just didn't work. And then the other thing that doesn't work is because of publishing timelines, 6 months have passed where the Earth has been completely cut off from the sun, and everything's just kind of fine.
What do you mean?
Because of Knoll's dome of symbiotes has covered the whole Earth.
I get
in
that.
Black.
I mean, what do you mean everything's fine?
People are just doing their stuff.
There's no agriculture. There's like literally just like it's nighttime
forever. Yeah.
A ship got stuck in a canal for 4 days, and half the goddamn infrastructure of the world collapsed. Pretty sure we didn't have the sun for 6 months.
If we didn't have the sun for 6 hours.
What?
So that is going to bother me the same way that the blip bothers me in the MCU.
Yeah.
Like, that would change the...
that fundamentally change everything.
Yes.
I always had that problem in the movies, too, where, like, life is still going on. Just wouldn't. Like, if one half of the people on the planet disappeared, there is so much... your streets wouldn't just have trash built up in front of the thing. It would fundamentally change
everything
about infrastructure. You wouldn't have electricity. Yeah. You wouldn't have power. It would be a feudal nomadic system, especially after 5 years.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. And so that's how I kind of feel about this. Like, okay, it's a neat premise, but it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And so eventually, spoiler alert for King in Black, the heroes end up winning. What?
Yeah.
How could this happen?
Maybe Grave Marvel knew they were, like, going under. If Marvel knew that, like, okay, we're not going to have any more comics anymore. Let's end on the most bummer fucking note. Just Null comes in, kills everybody. Bye.
That would be fantastic.
Fucking amazing.
I would love that so much.
Okay, so how?
So two things happen. First of all, when Eddie dies, Dylan gets like extra sad and angry, and he uses his connection to Null and the symbiotes. He can like blast them with his mind to get them to fall off of their host, and so he's able to free all of the heroes that had been collected.
That's kind of cool.
That was cool. And one other note, the reason Null has come specifically to Earth is for Dylan, because Dylan is somehow strange and special, but is Null's grandson, and so Null's
like...
what
happens when an alien fucks your mom?
So Null's like, you're my special grandson. I have come for you. You must come with me and we'll do evil together. And he's like, fuck you, you killed my dad.
Technically not.
Well, technically yes. And he did fully die.
No,
but it's not technically his dad. Yeah.
Venom's still alive. Technically that alien that fucked your mom is still walking around.
So then the final finale of Saving the Day is also both good and bad. One of the problems with a twist is that if it just comes out of literally nowhere, it's just a deus ex machina and it's not meaningful.
It doesn't feel earned at all.
But if you establish that it's coming, then there's no tension or twist or anything.
Well, that's why a good twist is built into the story in ways that you don't notice.
Right. So, Null's opposite is the God of Light, and it is something we have seen in the Marvel Universe before. It is called the Enigma Force. It's what creates Captain Universe.
Who?
You know, that well-known character, Captain Universe.
Mm-hmm. It's like Captain America, but for the whole universe?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
And what the Enigma Force does is it picks an individual and connects that individual to the power of the universe, thus super amping them. The only reason I know of this character is because it empowered Spider-Man for a little bit in the 90s. And then when the big old Spider-Geddon crossover where we met all of the Spider-Mans happened, like one of the big Spider-Men was a Spider-Man where the Enigma Force had not left him. And so he was still like super cosmic powered.
Okay.
So that's how I know of the Enigma Force. And I also know that it has, like, it was on X-23 for a while.
Okay. I feel that if you...
It comes and goes as stories need.
The power of all of the universe just be... makes you the most powerful thing ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Usually the way they get around that is by the fact that it has to integrate with its host. And
that
so there are limitations. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the twist?
So the Enigma Force comes to Earth and picks Eddie. And so Eddie's now fine. And also cosmically cosmic. And
sure.
So
with
he,
Venom or no?
With Venom. So okay. Well, so the first thing he does is he goes to Null and is like, give me Venom back. And he takes Venom back. And then he goes to Thor and Silver Surfer and is like, give me your hammer and your surfboard. And he takes them and he fuses them into like this fucking badass battle axe. And the fifth issue of King in Black is just this amazing all-out brawl between... cosmically powered Eddie with the Mjolnir surfboard battle axe of justice and evil super dark Null with his
necro sword.
That
sounds
it's great.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like all the rest of the flaws, I'm like, okay.
Worth it.
You got me on the edge.
Yeah.
I don't care. That's the thing. If you can nail an ending, you'll almost forget about everything else that happens before it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Just a great issue. like that. And Ryan Stegman is the artist here, and he is just blows it out of the park with the stunning visuals and the design of his battle axe is great. And so he kills Null by flying him into the heart of the sun, and then the Enigma Force is like, my job here is done, and it leaves, and then Eddie's left chilling on Earth, and Venom is like, do you hear all of those voices? And Eddie's like, yeah. And Venom's like, that's the Hive. You're the new King in Black.
Oh, shit.
And that's the end.
That's a solid kind of weird twist at the end. So he controls the... I'm assuming he makes the planet normal again.
Yeah, that was part of killing Null.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so now it... It doesn't specify his exact relationship to the Hive of Symbiotes. It just says, you're the new King in Black. And so I doubt he will have godlike control over them the way Null did, but I suspect that they will answer to him the way that the monsters answer to Deadpool. They just sort of agree that you lead them now.
Okay. Okay. Whew. A lot to unpack, but then also, like, a lot of empty suitcases, so to speak. Like,
let's see what's in this. Oh, nope.
Oh,
let's
I just,
see what's in this.
I moved house, and I brought a bunch of banker's boxes, but I forgot to put anything in them. Sure looks like a lot's here, but there really isn't much. Well, that's cool, though. I mean, it sounds neat. It sounds like more of an opportunity to do great fight scenes than tell great stories.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I will say, story-wise, the only thing that I thought was any good was Dylan and Eddie's relationship and Eddie and Venom's relationship. And
now, does Deadpool play a role in this story?
No.
Okay.
So in his crossover, just like everybody else, he fights a symbiote dragon.
And wins.
And he beats it. He teams up with his monsters and they kill the goo.
So in this version, he still has his monsters then?
Yes.
So is he going to stay the king of the monsters?
We don't know.
Okay, but it's possible.
It's possible. Nerdy 30 came out, which was the big 30-year celebration that I guess they canceled his regular title for. And it was just an anthology of mostly silly stories that probably aren't canon. It was written by every single writer who has ever had a run on Deadpool. Not everyone who's ever written a miniseries, because that would be
Right. Literally
everyone who has ever written a comic. Yeah. but every writer who has ever done a run on the Deadpool comic wrote a short story for the Nerdy 30 anthology, and it was neat, but it gave us zero indication as to what his future is going to hold.
Got it. Okay, well, that was a ride. Anything else you've...
No, that was it. You know, there's a lot of new history that was revealed. There's a lot of stuff that didn't work, but there was a lot of stuff that was fun. And
my favorite part is finding the Necrosword cut off the head of the Celestial in terms of world building stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and I'm definitely excited to see what happens now with Venom as the new King in Black. So,
and what that might even mean.
Yeah, you know, that's always a nice way to end an event is with I'm excited for what comes next.
Yeah, for sure.
If I had to make a recommendation, I would say yes. Read the core miniseries King in Black 1-5.
Don't bother
reading any of the other crossovers.
Except
like, don't even bother.
To look for how cool Absolute Carnage looks, like the Carnage character.
Yeah, like look at some art.
Which is a good quick Google search for you. Okay, well, you want to spin the wheel of segments?
Let's do it.
Okay. And it's Stump Sharnold.
Oh, we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah. Okay. Well, luckily, I have something ready for this.
Okay.
It's always good.
You didn't prepare something for the Black Widow episode that you thought we were going to be recording today?
Don't poke holes. There's no need for that. We're going to play either or.
Ooh.
Or both. Okay.
Whoa.
It's called
either or both. Tricky.
Yeah, it's a special Stump Sharnold version. You're going to tell me, is this either the name of a symbiote,
mm-hmm,
or a mainstream action film title, or both?
Okay.
Now, quick side note. It turns out that all words have been used for movie titles. Any individual word you could ever look for has been made into a movie title. So there are some on here that will be both that I'm not saying are both, because like they were made for $930 in the 70s, or they are made direct for some streaming platform you've never heard of.
You're talking about like
mainstream theatrical released movies. Okay?
Okay.
Number one, Toxin.
Okay, I know that is a symbiote because that is Venom's grandson. It's Carnage's kid. I'm trying to think of a movie called Toxin.
There probably is one.
And I can't, so I'm just going to say symbiote.
Yes, you got it. That's correct. Okay. Number two, Fury.
Huh. It is one or the other, because I can't think of a movie or symbiote called Fury. So I'll say movie.
That's correct. It's that tank movie with Brad Pitt that came out.
World
War
II
tank movie. Yeah. Number three, Riot.
Riot's got to be both. Just because it's such a common word. It's got to be both.
There is a movie called Riot. It's a prison fight exploitation movie. I'm not counting it. It's a symbiote.
Okay.
Number four, Payback.
Payback is the movie with Mel Gibson.
That's correct.
I can't believe I remember that.
But it's also
it's
the name
also
of a symbiote.
Oh,
yes,
I don't know that one.
Yes, it is. According to Wikipedia.
Look, I know a lot about Marvel. Wikipedia knows way more than
I do. It's just the collective knowledge of everybody.
Because, like, most of what I know, I just know from having read stories, right? Like,
right.
I haven't gone and studied
right,
things.
Right. Number 5, Blight.
I'm going to say Symbiote.
That's a movie.
Boo. Yeah.
It's a good name for a symbiote, though.
It is, yeah. What's the movie about?
No idea.
Okay.
Number 6, Scorn.
Okay, Scorn is a symbiote. I don't know who, but I know that Scorn is a symbiote, so I'm going to say Symbiote.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Again, caveat, probably also a movie.
Yeah.
But not like a mainstream release.
Boy, I wish I could remember which symbiote he is. Anyways.
Number 7.
I recognize the name.
Marcus.
Marcus? Okay, that's got to be a movie. There's no way that's a symbiote.
The symbiote.
He just calls himself Marcus?
It's a Deadpool symbiote, apparently. Part of the Deadpool line.
Oh, sure.
And I think it said something about him being a werewolf, too. I'm not sure. Number 8. Vanguard.
I'm going to say movie.
That's correct. Number 9. Bloodsport.
Don't know of a symbiote called Bloodsport, so I will say movie.
That's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And number 10, Sleeper.
Sleeper is a symbiote.
That's correct. Sleeper is a symbiote.
Yeah. Sleeper was in The King in Black. I just didn't mention it because he didn't play a super huge role.
I was going to do Grendel on there too, and I'm glad I didn't because I'd never heard of Grendel, and now it turns out that he's the primary character in this story.
Another one you could do that was both is Scream.
But I know you knew Scream, so I didn't want to do Scream. Although Scream's a great option.
She's probably the third most well-known symbiote besides
Venom,
Carnage,
and Scream. Yeah. There's one that's got a swirly thing on its face.
So that's the null symbol. And so lots of symbiotes have, from time to time, when they were under Null's control, had
the swirly
that
face.
Swirl. Yeah.
Okay, well, this was a fun episode.
I like doing these big tentpole events.
Yeah, they're neat.
Because there's a lot to unpack in them.
Right. And it's neat because it's also a blend of the two things we love doing here, which is keeping people up to date with what's happening and also establishing what we probably won't ever see on screen.
Don't think Venom 2 is going to strongly feature
the King in Black and the deep mythology of the history? No, I don't think so.
That would be a great way to tie it into the MCU, though, is his connection to Thor.
Yep. Except I don't think Venom's into the MCU yet. It's still Sony.
Tomato, tomato.
No, it's not.
MCU, MCU.
It isn't the MCU, though. Okay. On that note, I think we're going to wrap up for this week.
We must keep talking forever.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Hit us up on doombotspod.com. You can reach us on any social media platform at doombotspod on Instagram, on Twitter. You can email us doombotspod@gmail.com. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear them. We'd love to get suggestions for anything you guys want to hear about in the future, any storylines. I want to say what we're going to do next week, but after how many times we've been betrayed by Black Widow, I'm nervous and hesitant to even pitch next week.
So the plan is to do a Mother's Day episode.
Because that's coming up around next week.
Well, 2 weeks, because we're bi-weekly.
I meant next episode. Words are hard. Do you have any idea what we're going to talk about?
Nope.
Okay. Well, it might involve someone, an alien fucking your mom. So enjoy that. And thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it. Bye.
You can't see me, but I'm waving.
Before we get into all of this, I would like to ask one big question that always is on my mind between the Kree and the Skrull and the plant ones, I guess.
Kotati.
Yes. Why do all alien species care about Earth so much? Okay, cool. Glad I asked. Productive element of the podcast.
A lot has been said and speculated about this over the years. One of the major reasons is because of the Kree did their genetic experiments here on Earth many thousands of years ago. That's what created the Inhumans.
Right.
And so that gave the Kree... a reason to keep coming back to Earth and for Earth to be important to them. Secondarily, the Kree-Skrull War started on Earth's moon. We really shouldn't be talking about this because this has nothing to do with the King in Black.
I didn't know if there was some easy answer to this. I should have assumed there wasn't.
Because the Avengers live on Earth, and so all of the stories take place on Earth. So anytime you want to write about Marvel's aliens, it has to somehow involve Earth.
Okay, so let's go back now.